Hello, welcome to episode number 331 of the Apolog podcast. I'm your host, Simon Head. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by AIXDSP.com. Get affordable and useful plugins for your digital audio workstation. Get the IC Intuition Compressor. It's a compressor that gives you a clear and intuitive visual display that shows exactly what is happening to your audio at all times. Click the link in the description for more information. If you want to support my work on Patreon, go to patreon.com/apolog. Pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with my hosting and gas fees. You can cancel at any time. Patreon's kind of a powerful tool for creators, and I suggest if you are a creator that you should probably look into it because it's a pretty cool idea. It's a monthly subscription. So if you want to pay for a couple of months to help an artist out, you can do that. I digress. Go buy a t-shirt. Go to apolog.ca/shop. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes. Give it 5 stars, please. Like and share on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SimonHead666. And now we're on Spotify. I've been on Spotify for about 6 months. I just get to this point of the podcast and I forget to let people know that, hey, we're on Spotify. Well, I'm on Spotify. I'm a team of people. Like, we speak about each other and, you know, whatever, regardless. No, the show's on Spotify. You can pick it up, listen to it there in your car, or if you're running, or if you're working. We say a lot of fun stuff on the podcast, and you know, we want you to be a part of it. But you can listen to it there. And that's about it. So today on the show, I have Lee Rose from the band Ace of Wands. Lee was on the show 100 episodes ago, on episode 231, which is weird, right? This is weird, like, because 4 years have gone by, and maybe five, going on 5 years. And we're like, and by the way, you were on the show 100 episodes ago. I don't know, is it just me? Do I find that weird? I don't know. Ace of Wands are a great band based out of Toronto. You know, it's a great three-piece. Lee kind of plays bass pedals, and she plays bass, and she plays violin. Anna's their guitar player, who also plays in a band called Beams. Joni Brumell is basically Toronto's answer to John Bonham. I Taste Blood is the new single that came out. Like, you listen to it, it's good for driving. Gotta let you know, too, that Ace of Wands did something during the pandemic, the big P, which seems to be a common subject around the podcast. It only takes about 28 seconds before someone's talking about the pandemic. Ace of Wands did this amazing video production, and I think you'll be able to go find it if you go to their Facebook or wherever and find out where these videos are, because it is basically art. Art in video form. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast 100 times about how live streaming is sort of like the great compromise. They one-upped it, and it was such a good thing to watch too, when we're all sitting at home wondering if we're all going to die of the plague. So everybody, I don't know what happened, my Pro Tools stopped working. Go figure. Seems to be a common thing these days. So anyways, without further ado, please welcome Lee Rose from the band Ace of Wands on the Apolog podcast. Yeah, 100 episodes ago.
A lot of time. I mean, when was that, I guess? 2019?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, May. It's weird. It's weird simpatico there.
Totally. And I think, like, just the whole, I mean, the last 2-3 years have just been so strange that it doesn't feel like that long ago. But it was also, like, I don't know, so much stuff has happened.
I know. I started, by the way. We started.
Okay.
Man. Yeah, I don't know what to say about the last 3 years. Although I can just go fall off a cliff somewhere. I think that'd be okay. I think we're okay with that.
Yeah, for sure.
So Ace of Wands. You guys have got a single out, right?
Yeah, we're releasing a new single on January 20th. But it's actually the second single off of an upcoming record that we're going to put out at the end of March, which is really exciting. We've got a full length coming out in March.
On a label?
Yes, we're releasing it on Fortune Stellar Records, which is new for us. And working with Andrew and Shiloh over there has been awesome. They're just huge music lovers, really supportive. And it was such a weird process, like looking for label representation, knowing that I wanted some help with this album to put it out, and trying to do the whole pitch thing. Is very, you know, it's intimidating and it's such a lot of work and a slog, and you're just cold calling a million different people, and hoping that anyone writes you back. And it was a very fortuitous meeting of Fortune Stellar and us, because we shared a show with Mad Ones, which is Andrew DeVillers' project at the Dakota Tavern. And that was right when I was in the middle of my pitch package madness, and I thought, you guys, you can help us.
Yeah.
So it just worked out. And I think, like, I don't know how it works in the industries, typically, if there is a typical, but I think for the most part, it's having a kind of personal connection with people will get you a lot farther than just cold calling. I mean, as unfortunate kind of as that is, because it's so hard.
Yeah.
To make those connections. But for us, it was great. And they've been awesome. So yeah, full length album coming out.
Yeah. I was thinking about the whole fact of, like, cold calling people. It seems like such an odd thing to do. But I mean, if you know, did you have a short list? Like, was there a short list of labels? Or did you just, like, I'm going to start with Sony and then I'll work my way down.
Yeah. A started letter A in the alphabet.
Yeah.
No, we definitely had a short list. But it was pretty long. I mean, I gotta say, like, the short list was long because there are so many out there. There are so many from big to small, people running labels. And what it actually means, I think, for independent artists to have anyone else in your corner telling people that this is good, it's so important. So it was huge for us when Fortune Stellar wanted to work with us, because we believe in the music so much, and it feels a little like, so often it can feel like just slamming your head against a brick wall, because yeah. There's just so much stuff out there that you're competing against, and
yeah,
wanting to get it through, get through to people is so important.
Yeah. The sheer fact of just putting the work in, I know that a lot of labels like to see what you've done first. And then they sort of see, well, how can we plug ourselves in to make it better?
You know, and
I guess the whole idea of labels, that if you're talking about how to make it better, you're not really talking about how we can all make money out of it, right? So that's sort of like, you throw that part out of the window still, right?
Yeah.
It obviously needs to be financially sufficient to be able to, you know, people got to put work into it, and then you put the work in, and it's a cohesive thing. You know, I've been involved with a few labels in my day, and it always ends weird. I don't know why. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is my first experience, at least in the last 10 years, or maybe, well, I had another label experience with my old band that I was in. And that was kind of sour, in this way that you're talking about, but that was also a kind of a major distribution deal that we had. And it's a different vibe when you're dealing on those, like, higher, I guess, I don't even know if it's like, cause it's not higher level or higher stakes, because everyone, but it's just like, it leans more into the fiscal aspect of it, I think. And I know for how I'm feeling out our relationship with our label is that we have a very common goal, and that's really about the music at this point. And the more we can get that out, the better we'll be situated down the road. And that feels really positive.
Yeah. And just having other people involved with your music too is really helpful, because you can just say, hey, well, what can you do? Like, I've done as much as I can as an artist. What can you do as a label to further this, make this more successful, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, so you're a full length, and so what is the medium? Are you going vinyl? Are you going
Yeah, we're going vinyl, and I've just placed an order for some CDs today, which is nice how fast that can happen. CDs, vinyl has taken, it was actually quicker than we thought it would be, but many, many months to get vinyl produced these days, but we've got it all. And the record's called Desiring. And yeah, March 31st. So hopefully we'll have everything, you know, in hand, and we can start getting out there and playing shows and getting it to people.
When did you put the vinyl order in? Because I know it, like, I waited 2 years to get a record, like actual record in hand.
Yeah, I think we caught it at a good moment. I think we submitted everything at the middle part of August, and we got it in December. So that was pretty good. But it definitely, it was that crazy, like 18 months, 2 years kind of timeline for the longest time over COVID anyway.
Yeah.
So very pleased that we got it all together in time.
Where was it pressed? Because I know there's like two or three places in the world that do it now. It feels like, you know, there's one in Europe somewhere, and there's one in California somewhere. Whereabouts was it pressed?
Yeah, we got it done through Precision Record Pressing, which is their headquarters is in Burlington. I know that the lacquer masters are cut in the Czech Republic, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But they do the manufacturing of the units in Burlington at their plant there. So that's cool to have it be pretty local.
You couldn't ask for more local. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why it took us 2 years. It really did. Like, we it took us 2 years to record and 2 years to get out. So it was like a 4 year experience. Yeah. And then nobody cared after that point. It was like, what record? I forgot all about it. I forgot the songs. I didn't know how they went.
Yeah.
but and you can almost do a whole record waiting for the other record to be finished. I mean,
I know, I'm already starting to feel like I have some new songs for sure, but like I need to finish the next record and start working on it, because it's going to be like 3 years before we can get it out there.
Yeah. Now, you must be the type of person, you sort of bank all your songs and then sort of start bringing them forward to your bandmates and things like that. Does making a new record, it must foster more inspiration to make more music, right?
I would say that, oddly enough, like, yes and no. I mean, I think when we released Lioness in 2019, I definitely had that feeling. But then for this one, because the pandemic hit, and so, like, the Lioness came out in 2019, and then 2020, 2021, and 2022, pretty much, we were just in the throes of such a weird anomaly of music industry stuff, and the world was just so messed up. I was fairly uninspired for most of COVID. So I think the immediate aftermath of releasing a record in 2019, I was gung-ho and writing songs all the time. And then when we finished the recording for this record, we were still deep in COVID, and I was just feeling like pretty lost, actually, in terms of how we were going to move forward with this record, how it was going to come out, what it was going to look like. Like, we could have released it, probably pushed and released it last year, but just knowing that, I don't know, like I want to tour it. I want to do the same things that we could do before COVID happened. And so we waited till 2023 to hopefully, and then it's looking like we'll be able to do a bit of touring this summer and spring, which is great. But I don't know that I have a really clear pattern to how I feel with records, because Lioness was our first, and the first like major record that I had written. And so this being the second, and then it being in COVID time, it was just kind of a weird, a weird mix.
Yeah. Now, how did this new record, how is it stretched and grown? It must have stretched and grown since Lioness. Like, what were the processes of how you felt? I mean, obviously, you always try to put better music out every time, right? So what makes this one better?
I think it's really good. I think it's better. I mean, better as in, like, I have grown a lot as a songwriter. I think the subject matter of the songs is much deeper. It taps into a more personal but also more universal kind of themes that I think people can relate to. The instrumentation is more complex. It's the song structures and the arrangements we really have reached a new level on, in terms of the how we were able to stretch the sound as a three piece. Like it, when you listen to it, I think you'll find that even more so than on Lioness, there's just like a lot going on, and it's just the three of us playing in a room. Like we record, even though like we recorded a lot of it live together, but even the overdubs are pretty minimal, and like the depth of sound that we were able to get is pretty exciting. And there's we get more into like the darker and more rock side of Ace of Wands on this record. It's pretty heavy and has really deep grooves, and I think more so captures the energy of our live performance, which is really important to me. So yeah, all of that.
Cool. Well, I actually have the song. Do you want to play it?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go off screen here for a second. Oh crap. I had to log in back into my computer. Stand by.
Okay.
So I have I Taste Blood, which Anna wrote this one, right? This is what I read.
Yeah, for sure. It's the only track on the record that Anna wrote, and but it's a like just so ferocious and really like clarifies, I think, the energy that Ace of Wands can have, like especially in a live setting, and so wanted to showcase that.
Cool. Here it comes.
The single.
It is short and sweet. And, you know, when you talk about like the music that's sort of a soundscapey kind of, you think, well, you could just stretch that for as long as it feels right, you know, but that was definitely nice, short, concise. It sounds great. And yeah, we were talking a little bit about where it was mixed. So maybe talk a little bit about that. Cause it's.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This track was mixed by Kevin McMahon, who is a producer and engineer based in upstate New York. And we met him a few years ago when we were on tour down there. And he has a very cool, like, all analog process of mixing that he does in like a 100-year-old barn in New Paltz, New York, just like a few hours north of New York City. And he's just got like, he had a real, he really like figured out this kind of tones that we were going for on this, like very grimy and gritty. There's a lot of just like edge to the mix, but it feels full and warm at the same time. So we were thrilled with it. And he's done you've probably heard a ton of music that he's mixed, Pyle and Titus Andronicus and Swans. He's like all over the place with that post-punk and post-rock scene. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really cool person and very happy to have met him.
Yeah, it's nice meeting people like that who can sort of get your music and sort of capture it how, you know. And the other is being nicely surprised about like, oh, I wasn't expecting it to sound similar or like it does. There are always like those moments when other people mix music that I do.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Yeah. So you have a whole record coming out. You put out one. I'd missed the, obviously you put the first one out and you get the second one. Are you going to do one more single before the full?
Yeah. We've got another single coming out in February and then the full length in March. And, we're going to plan, we have a record release show booked at, the Velvet Underground on March 30th. And then following that, we'll be doing a tour, still figuring out dates. We have a new booking agent and they're working us through like US and Canada dates following that release show, but still working out all the details. And so as soon as we know them, we'll share.
Yeah. And touring in the States, that's kind of the way to go still, right? Like, you know, we have as much Canadian content as we can have up here, but there's also a large distance between venues. Have you been out the west side of Canada, like throughout the prairies and whatnot?
We've gone out west, but just Alberta. We had a residency at the Banff Center for the Arts in 2018. And so when we did that, we did like an Alberta kind of tour. And then we flew out there again kind of 3 months later to do another run of shows. But we haven't actually toured fully out, like driven out through the prairies that way, but definitely on our list of stuff to do. I mean, it's always like, people always say that, and it is true. The touring in Canada is hard, but I also really love it. Like I love playing in all the smaller town, Ontario venues. I love London and Guelph, and Ottawa has been great to us. And we've just like, we do that kind of stretch along the 401, and we've made a lot of really great friends, and there's a lot of great music happening in those towns too. So combining that with stuff in the US is really great.
Yeah, it is, you know, but finding roots in different countries is definitely important to, you know, and there's a type of like, when you come from Canada and people see you from the States, there's like a whole other vibe. You know, I'm sure if like someone came over from Europe and from France and you're playing with them, you're like, oh my God, you're from another country. You know, there's that. Yeah. That type of romanticism, right?
Yeah, a little exotic.
Yeah,
thing that happens.
Yeah, even people from Buffalo look at people from Toronto. Wow, you guys speak different. Yeah, that's true. And to be able to get down that end of to go south and travel, you can now travel 2 hours between venues rather than
for sure
20 hours, which is.
Yeah.
Absurd, you know, as someone, I mean, you've done it too. You did it with Ron. You traveled across Canada in a van, and it's like, you don't want to do that your whole life. It's something you don't want
to
do.
No.
And, I'm really excited. It's like, cause I, you know, obviously fan of your, like those pandemic videos you guys did were like, so I can't express how awesome they were to watch.
Yay.
Yeah, they were these type of like, they were like, there was something in there. I don't know what it was, whoever, I don't know if you guys just did it yourselves, if you had somebody with you, how you did it, but just the staging of it and the whole, it sort of gave it life. And that's sort of what we all needed, right?
Well, I got to give credit. That's our really dear friend, Sam Scott, who has directed all of our music videos. And he and I played played together in Rival Boys, and he's just such a talented videographer and really can capture a lot of the kind of darkness, but also the whimsy that I think we try to bring to what we're trying to do, that we're not, that there's a whole range of Ace of Wands and he's able to capture it. So we have a video actually coming out with I Taste Blood as well. And, and he directed that.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things, you're watching it on your computer and it just really, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because I knew you guys at the same time as well, but it just felt like, this feels different. It doesn't feel like, you know, what really drove me crazy is those different video camera. Obviously, that's the only way you could do it, is the different camera COVID shots. And they're always shot like the wrong way. And it's always kind of, they're always faking it because they're not obviously playing together, because that's impossible to do.
Sure.
You know, and also the whole fact of just, you know, I don't know. You guys got it. That's all I can say. It's like I can watch this and I can feel this, you know, and that's awesome. Kind of what you want to do, right? When you're playing music and it's live ish, right? Yeah. You know, it's not live, but it's you guys playing live.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. And whoever did all that set dressing and all that good stuff. I mean, you guys have a range of, what am I trying to say? You have like a range of different things that make this band kind of awesome.
Wicked. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
It was hard during COVID because so much of what we were doing was just like, shoving stuff into the void and hoping that people were watching and listening. And sometimes you get that feedback, but most of the time you don't get anything. And it's awesome to get some feedback.
Yeah. You know, if there's a way to actually make that into a monetizable art form, because everybody was expecting it for free. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, no, work was put into this, you know, type of thing. And no one's really gotten that. I mean, I think maybe the world thought, well, you owe this to me, you know, I don't know. But to be able to make it into a true, you know, you tune in and you watch things on the TV, it should be a similar type of thing. You know, I guess that's what YouTube's for and all this stuff, but it's different with music. You know what I mean? You have to sort of cross over and make yourself, I mean, put out what you're saying. It needs to sort of translate a little differently than the live music, right?
Totally.
Yeah. And I mean, when you were doing it, it sounds like you didn't really feel that type of stuff. You sort of only waited I guess you only have numbers to look at, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. One of the greatest parts of the pandemic was doing that weekly kind of variety show that we did on Instagram, Ace of Wands TV, because we did have I could see people chiming into the chat, or like when they entered the video stream, I could see people kind of joining, and that was a really lovely thing for me to know that I'm like, okay, I'm talking to my phone by myself in my living room.
Yeah.
And that's a weird feeling, but I can see, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and my friends and my family, and like this person from Edmonton who we met on tour once is like joining into the chat. And that felt like, okay, I'm not so alone in this right now. But the live stream videos, because we just put them up on YouTube and then just press play. It was a little bit different, but yeah, it was a whole mixture of stuff. I feel like there's going to be a lot of repercussions from COVID that we haven't yet processed, just in terms of how it's affected people's mental health. I know for me, just like it's still a process getting over it and moving into whatever normal is again.
Well, there's that sort of being afraid of something else. What else is going to happen? Like, you know what I mean? Just when he's like, it's fine. And then something else happens. And then now there's this whole new thing happening that's going to be a whole new strain that can kill you. And it's like, but the fear is that nobody's like locking things down. You know,
yeah.
The world is done with the whole lockdown thing, and come hell or high water. You know what I mean? It seems like it's a whole other group of people have sort of taken control. You know, and they're not rationally thinking about it. It's about keeping the businesses open. I understand, but there's a whole health concern out there. You know, this could just keep going and going and going and going and going. And, and like you say, it will be a long-term effect on people, you know. And one thing, you know, and funnily enough, one thing I don't want it to do, I don't want anybody to write a song that says COVID. You don't need to mention the word COVID. It's like, I get it, you know, it's like lockdown or something. It's like, no, no, we can, it's okay. It's like giving everybody sort of carte blanche to sort of do whatever bad one person show they want to do or something about the lockdown, you know.
Right.
You know, it's been tough with the podcast too, because every time I speak to somebody, we start speaking about the pandemic.
And yeah,
it's
like, sure.
You know, yeah, it's, you know, it's like, when are we going to sort of let it go? You know, it seems, you know it seems that's sort of a harsh thing to say, but like, when is it, when are we going to be done with this? And it feels like never in a way.
Yeah, it's going to, yeah, for sure. I think it's the reason why people reference it constantly, because it, like, when something defines your life in such a huge way for so long, and it's like, you know, 2-3 years in the course of your whole life, that's not that many years, but it's going to be a while still to get over that hump of that being the only reference point for every single traumatic event or a thing that was canceled or a disruption. Like, it's going to be a while.
I remember, like, it's almost like, it feels like it's about 20 years ago now. I went on tour with a band called the Circle Jerks. I was doing sound for them. And we're on tour, and the guy was their merch guy, was the guy that drove in the van with me. And all he talked about was the Quebec riots, the Quebec City riots. Yeah. When we were at the riots, So I'm like, I almost, like, a few times, like, dude, stop talking about the riot. And because we go into Quebec City, it's like, oh, this is where the riots were. I'm like, oh my God. Stop it. Stop talking about the riots. We're done. Yeah. And, you know, so it feels like, part of me just wants to forget it, but then again, you can't. I mean, it's forever changed. It's changed my whole career. Like, my career is completely different now as a result of that stupid plague. But here we are.
Here we are.
We're doing it. Yeah. You know, we're going to keep doing it, you know? And 100 episodes later, here you are back on. You know, we should wait for another 100. No, we shouldn't wait 100 more episodes. Because I only put 14 out last year. So it was a few years ago. So
Okay.
But yeah, for sure. I think we should do maybe one, like, whenever you do the record release, we'll get the three together and we'll do it, like, with microphones and with people and or with you guys in person, and maybe talk a little bit about it. Because I kind of want to go through the whole record, and I want to kind of sort of you guys to sort of maybe break it down and sort of.
Yeah,
that'd be fun thing to do. You know, because, you know, I do, I, you know, I respect you guys so much because you carried through it and you just kept doing it. And that's, you can't not appreciate the fact that's the amount of work you guys put into it. And it's really tough to try to explain, you know.
It is. Yeah, no, it is. I don't really think there are, like, a few people, I think, in my life, including my bandmates and a couple of friends who are musicians, and then, like, my partner and maybe my mom who, like, really see, like, the how it wears on you, this industry, and, like, the struggle of, like, getting what feels so close to your heart, like, out to share with the world in so many this weird situation. Yeah, the amount of work that's going into it, I think, like, can only be appreciated when you're at that intimate level. But it's fun. It's nice to be able to get into it with strangers and just say, like, hey, this is what we did.
Yeah, because they don't see that. Like, the normal people, well, I mean, we're kind of a weird type bunch, especially that scene of Toronto where people are mostly musicians in our scene, you know. And they kind of get it. But if you just meet, like, a normal person at a normal venue and they go, oh, he looks so much fun. It's like, well, it took 23 and a half hours to get here to do the thing that I do for 35 minutes. And then now I'm done. I got to wait another 23 and a half hours, maybe drive. You know, it needs to be recognized about how much work gets put into this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's work. And a lot of times it doesn't pay money. And, you know, and there's always that sort of that balance between art and money and how it all balances out, you know. And, you know, everybody gets to a certain part in their life where they go, I just want to pay my rent. I just want to do that, you know, or I just want to pay my mortgage. I just want to, you know, it's not like you want the good things in life. You just want, you want to be stable. And sometimes being a musician, most of the time, is not that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you're doing the Lord's work.
Thank you.
Keep in touch. It was nice, actually, a guy, Matt, just got in touch saying, hey, you guys are doing this thing. I'm like, I know these folks. We could do stuff.
Yeah.
So is he a publicist?
He's our publicist for this single. So
amazing. I wonder how he got my contact info, because it's the first time he's contacted me. So
interesting.
I will take more of his calls, because it does actually for me. Like, I spent 4 or 5 years just talking to everybody. Please come do the show. And now it seems like I want people now to I want it to come back the other way, so I can definitely, you know, meeting people like that. Also, publicist work is just it's not fun all the time. A lot of gnomes.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
For sure.
Well, I'm really appreciative that you had me on again. Really nice to chat. And we would love to come back for sure.
Anytime. Okay. All right. Good talk, Neely.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
See you soon, Simon.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was Lee Rose from the band Ace of Wands. Go check out the link that has the video and song, I Taste Blood. Great, great song. Short, sweet, and awesome. Good job, guys. Good job, everybody. Good job, me. I did a good job. I need to hear myself say that to myself more from time to time. Good job, me. You're doing great. Keep it up. Keep it up. Thanks so much, everybody. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and view the show on iTunes. Don't forget to listen to the show on Spotify. Spotify is this thing. It's got the three little arches, and it's Spotify. Go check it out on Spotify. I want to see those analytics go up, all right? Big news in the documentary world. I've delivered, as they say in the industry, I've delivered the audio tracks to one Andy Koyama, who is a man you can check on IMDb, who works out of a huge conglomeration studio down in Los Angeles. I got a text from him or an email from him yesterday saying, as soon as I finish the John Wick thing I'm working on, I'll get to yours. I shook my head and went, okay, take your time. That John Wick thing sounds like it pays better. And so big news. I'm planning on going down there and probably in a couple of weeks to go check out the mix and hang out and see my friend Andreas and drive around LA, maybe go to El Compadre's, maybe get some flaming Zambucas or whatever I had there. I think it was a flaming margarita. I wonder if they make a virgin version of that now. Flaming margarita. I guess they have to light it on fire, so I don't know how they're going to do that without booze. Anyways. Thank you so much, Lee. I usually don't talk about what I'm doing with my life. The other thing I was doing, taking interviews. I'm getting a new job. I'm looking for a new job. Anybody out there need a podcast, washed up punk rock musician, semi-good bass player, keyboard player extraordinaire? I set up PA systems. I mix sound. Anybody need a guy? I'm your guy. I'll go out and I'll do your thing. I'll do the thing for you. So thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope to see you. Maybe not next week. I'm going to interview one Brock Pytel this hopefully next week, and I will have that out within the next 4 months. Okay, boys and girls, have a good week. We'll see you again. Bye.